Hello and welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon, blazing new trails in the field of psychological philosophy, philosophical psychology. Yeah. And had some great thoughts this week. I'm kind of excited to share them with you. Here we go. Things I don't know. Number one, how depression and anxiety turn into a pattern and turn physical and become a condition. Two, whether pure biology can be a cause of depression / anxiety. There might be a case or, I don't know how many, okay? That's what I don't know. But in general, I tend to think that is overplayed, the biology portion of it. Number three, things I don't know. How mental illness is related to sin and whether I should even go there on this podcast. And a subheading of that, whether pride is always a part of mental illness, depression, anxiety, etc. I have a note on that if we can get to it later. Number four of things I don't know, whether I should be nicer to Terry Warner. Number five of things I don't know, how to handle my convictions on this podcast. I feel a little awkward with them. Do I try to tone them down and appeal to, I don't know if appeal's the right thing, appeal to a wider audience, or just be friendlier with a wider audience and reserve my convictions for, I don't know. Okay, six. I don't know for sure whether my theory of depression is right. And here's my theory of depression. We're in denial, not allowing ourselves or denying the fact of feeling how we naturally feel. That wasn't grammatically correct. Because of pride and because we are acting against the light of Christ or the truth. We have necessity or in a state of self-deception. Are we of necessity self-deceived to make the wrong we are doing seem right? So in wronging ourselves, we see ourselves as unworthy, bad, not worth treating right, whatever, and this becomes a pattern somehow and turns all biological and chronic. And that's depression. That's the theory that I'm not sure about. A subheading of that, anxiety would be related, of course. We believe the lie that our world is going to end, buying into fear, basically. But what's the wrong we do that we have to justify? I think it's part of believing that lie and the whole mentality is wrong. But I'm not sure if there's some other wrong we're doing to ourselves or whatever. By buying into that lie, we condemn ourselves to live with that lie, and our world becomes one of fear and anxiety. It becomes biological and everything too, of course. We create a false image of ourselves that we are fighting against at all times. The world is creating it for us. The devil is creating it for us and trying his best to get us to buy it every second. Somehow, anxiety is related to depression, and I need to understand exactly how. Exactly how, not kind of generally. I believe it's possible to do that. Another subheading, I probably need to refine these theories, say them over and over until I can explain them clearly and simply, or as simply as possible. One hard thing here is there's more than one way to explain it. You remember Wendy Trainor's theory of depression? She called it self-rejection. So this is like explaining what makes a car go. You can explain depression multiple ways or from multiple angles and still be accurate. And there's also inaccurate. So we can do it, I think. So these are all things I don't know. There are many, many more. But I feel we are on a good track. We're getting there. we're headed in the right direction, generally. Okay. I want to make a note on pride. This may deserve its own podcast episode, the subject of pride. But I want to talk about it. I want us to understand it and what I'm saying and how it fits into this whole mechanism. I just said a minute ago how I believe pride is at the root of why we self-deceive and get depression and anxiety. And I can't shake that hunch. I think I believe that to be the case, but it's more innocent than it might sound. It's said that pride is a very misunderstood sin, and many are sinning in ignorance. But if you want to get technical, and we do, whenever you don't cry in public because you don't want the attention, or whenever you don't get visibly angry at someone because you aren't that kind of person, or whenever you hold back because you don't want to be counted a fool when you fail, or whenever you give in to fear because you don't want to deal with the possibility of failure, are you not acting in pride? Is pride not an ingredient in that? In all those things. So we're not talking holding back from changing lanes in a dicey situation because you don't want to die. That's not pride. That's motivating you to not want to die and be careful in traffic. We're talking where ridicule or rejection is the motive. We're not talking where you avoid walking down a dark alley because you don't want to be accosted. That's legitimately dangerous. We're not talking avoiding physical danger. We're talking more about avoiding social danger, but more importantly, a threat to what you think of yourself, which is pride. Any false or bloated image of yourself is pride. Puffed up or lifted up, as the scriptures say. Any image of yourself that is not in alignment with the truth. So another question I have is, if your image of yourself is below what you are, isn't that pride too? If you're comparing yourself to somebody else and think you're worthless, isn't that really just kind of the flip side of thinking you're better? You're either way, you're comparing yourself. So isn't that pride? And how exactly does that work? It's a question I have. But I don't think it has a super difficult answer. So you see what I mean with pride, right? How that's a very normal thing and an everyday thing, something we battle with every day. So are those things not pride? Is it not at the root of what we do when we get into those lies of depression and anxiety? I have to think it is. So I think one way to combat that stuff is to adjust your image of yourself. Also to allow yourself to have the emotions you have. And to do what you fear to do that's right. Those things combat that lie. They combat pride. But if you need to adjust your image of yourself, it might be kind of easy to begin telling yourself that you're not perfect, that you're not all that, but that you're a precious, special, wonderful child of Heavenly Father who loves you just as you are and who will love you forever no matter what, even if you're depressed and anxious. He still loves you no matter what. Surely what we all crave in our striving for our image of ourselves and judgment of others, surely what we really crave is the love of God. Don't you think? That's what we're maybe missing. That's what we crave. Is it not? And the big news is we have it, right? We may not be in his favor, if you know what I mean, but we can always have his love no matter what. The question is whether we know that. Because it's there, we just might not know it. Would we all have perfect self-esteem if we were perfect? Because we would then know that God loved us, because we would have access to knowing that? That's a question, not an answer. Another thing I don't know is how much to talk about things I don't know. I don't want to do it too much, but it seems to me that most people want to hear from somebody who sounds like they do know. So sometimes I think I should act a little more sure of myself, be a little more sure of myself, and I probably should. But I also want to reserve the right to say I don't know, because the truth is sometimes I don't. And this podcast, at least, is in the business of finding an answer to things we don't know yet. This podcast is an intellectual investigation. I would say a spiritual one, too. All right. Is that as easy to follow as when I just talk? It will be a lot easier to edit, I'll tell you that. Okay, moving on. Some people say, these are notes from a different day. Some people say that the devil is who makes us believe the lie. I'm thinking about the lies of depression and anxiety, but it's really all kinds of lies that are detrimental to us. There are many, right? So some people say the devil is who makes us believe the lie. Others say it's ourselves, not the devil. Maybe to them there is no devil. But surely it's both to me. And the way that works is that we're always presented by our adversary. We're always enticed by the lies, what's not true. But we don't have to believe it. We make that choice ourselves. Or it's introduced to us by the traditions of our fathers, to use a scriptural term. That is, we learn from from those around us, I guess, from the time we're young all the way maybe through adulthood, how to act and how to be and how to think and what to believe. And a lot of these cultural and familial ways of being and acting are contrary to the light of Christ, as I would say. So does the lie come first, or the act against the truth? Does the distorted reality come first, or the falseness of action? Does the way of seeing come first, or the way of being or acting? So obviously, maybe not obviously, but when you think about that, it's got to be both, right? It's got to come from both ends. It's got to be one and the same thing. Does the distorted reality come first, or the falseness of action? Does the way of seeing come first, or the way of being, of acting? And the answer is it happens in one shot. And Terry Warner would say this. It's all one and the same act. You justify yourself with your worldview or whatever in order to, for the wrong that you did, right? That's kind of one way to think about it. You do the wrong first, and then in order to justify it, you take on this belief that's not true. But it really doesn't happen sequentially. like that. Because you can believe what's not true, and then voila, you're kind of justified in acting against the truth. But is there not, and this is a question I've got in my mind, is there not a wrongness in merely buying into that lie? Does it need an action? Like if you do something wrong, let's say you steal something, and then you justify it by believing, oh, Walmart is a big company owned by greedy people who don't need the money and who probably rip people off. Maybe they've ripped you off in the past. Whatever you have to put through your mind to justify the fact that you just stole something. It's not that expensive. I needed it really bad. Whatever you need to tell yourself. But you're changing your worldview in a way. You're telling yourself a lie. And you kind of become a thief. You become that person who's condemned to think that way. And really condemned to have a lower mentality and see the world in a victimizing way. And it's not worth it. It's not worth anything, really. No matter what you are able to get away with. But we do it, don't we? It's a temptation. It's part of life. But it would be possible to, I don't know, read some article about how the executives of the store, doesn't matter what store, I shouldn't have said Walmart maybe, because it doesn't matter if I say it, I guess, because I don't know anything about the owners. But I don't want to say anything one way or the other. It would be possible just to somehow persuade yourself of the fact that they are greedy and you're a victim, and for whatever other reasons, you're justified in doing what you did. Or for whatever other reasons, a person would be justified in doing what they did. You don't have to even commit the crime. Maybe you never do. But you still have that mentality. And maybe you would if the opportunity presented itself to you. And you weren't worried about getting caught or whatever. Seems to me like that. So, you know what else seems to me that way? Like it's kind of one and the same thing. You can come at it two directions. The false act or the false way of thinking. The other thing that seems that way is gravity and acceleration. And if you haven't been through this thought process, maybe that's not going to mean anything to you. But for me, it's very meaningful because gravity and acceleration turn out to be the same thing. Here's another thing I wonder. I wonder if Terry Warner will one day end up being like my parents, that I'll just one day realize how wonderful they are and not be judgmental. And I'll just celebrate Terry Warner and I won't be mad at Terry Warner. I kind of think so. See all these great thoughts? Yeah, that's about it. Well, one more little thought. the lie, now I'm thinking about anxiety and depression, but all lies, or all lies, I don't know, but those aren't the only ones. The lie must be appealing to the carnal mind. It's not random. Must be appealing to the carnal mind. There must be something attractive about it to the, I say carnal mind, that's a scriptural thing. Must be something attractive about it to, the natural man. That's another scriptural term, but you get where I'm going, right? Must be appealing to your darker side. All right, that is it for today. Thank you for joining us on the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon. This is episode 15. Hope you have a great day.